Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Food Glorious Food podcast. I forgot to tell you I renamed the podcast. I'd like to introduce my guest today. He's a colleague of mine and an all-round happy chaffy. Hamza Awan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here. First time I've ever been invited onto a podcast, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. Hamza is one of the hosts of the Atypical podcast. Definitely go and check that out. I'll put the links in the description for that. And we've got to know each other through work, which is lovely. We both sort of started on this podcast venture, and I think it's nice we can support each other in that. So it's good that we can go on there. Our topic for today is confectionery and sweets, all things sweets and candy and chocolate. Anything you might have bought for about 20p from the shop when we were a kid. So why have you chosen that?
You know what? So Jordan hit me up. Jordan was like, you know, do you want to come on my podcast? I was like, what's it about? He said, you know, it's food. He picks off a topic every episode. And so I was thinking to myself, and I was like, well, I'm not the biggest foodie in the world. Never have been. But nonetheless, the one thing that sort of is a stable, for better or for worse, probably for worse, is sweets and candy, confectionery, especially candy, like sour candy and stuff like that. So I was like, well, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, so it's probably the best thing to go with. I've got say sweet tooth, I've got a sweet mouth. I've learned to control it over
sweet mouth.
I've learned to control it, but yeah, no, it was a given.
Have you always had a sweet tooth? You always enjoyed eating sweets and stuff?
100%. I can't remember a time when I didn't, to be honest with you. And it's always stayed the same as well. It's always been like, it's always been the candies. It's always been like the pick and mix stuff, where it's always been like sour sweets and stuff. Like, it's never really been like, I do like chocolates and everything. I don't discriminate. But, you know,
That's where we differ, I think. I much prefer, I've always been a savory boy. And because of that, I don't think I've always appreciated sweets as much as I should have. Like, remember when we were kids when Charlie and the Chocolate Factory came out, and I think that was the first time we'd sit and we were just, you remember that opening sequence of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with all the folds of chocolate falling over the machine and everything looking so perfect and like just the most edible chocolate you've ever seen? That was the first time I really went, oh, do you know what, chocolate might be all right, like that looks really good. I've never seen something look so appealing.
Have you ever bought the actual like Willy Wonka chocolate bars that they sell? Because I never have.
Well, they say the actual Willy Wonka. How many people tried to riff off that brand when that film came out and made their own version?
I think there's only one now.
There was an official one, because I was actually, in fact, somewhere in here I've got a fact that says that the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was called Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because the company Roundtree's were releasing a Willy Wonka bar and they wanted the advertising, and so it wasn't Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. There you go, first little fun fact for you there.
No, mate, there you go. No, I never, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory, either or. It was, it's ridiculous. It's like when you watch it when you're a kid, you just like, it's a whole other world. It's like you see the river of chocolate, everything, you know.
But nothing's too far-fetched when you're a child. The river of chocolate, exactly. When you watch it back now, that original river of chocolate was bright red. Like, it looked nothing like chocolate.
Was it?
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay. It looks nothing like Mandela effect.
Literally. I think we all just remembered things. Oh, I miss being a child, don't you?
100%. It's, easier times, right? Easier times.
Those are the days. Right, and we're back. Let's hope this is working. So, what were your earliest memories of, how early back can you remember of eating sweets and being happy doing it?
Sweets is one of those things where it's just always been there, right? It's not like, I don't know, some sort of fancy food or something. It's like, you know, you've always had sweets. So, for me, the earliest memories I can probably think of was like going to the pharmacy with my mum, and then they would have like those the tin, like those goldy bronze tins of like hard boiled sweets. Like those ones, or like going to the pharmacy and they, which is hilarious because it's a pharmacy, but they used to have like you know the sweets which used to whistle.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those ones.
Oh my God, you're bringing back so many memories, man. Do you know, I was literally in a pharmacy the other day, and I thought, why do they have those sweets? What on earth? What makes those sweets travel sweets? That's what I don't understand. Like, what?
No, it's because when you travel, like, you I don't know, you get air eggs or something like that. They say, you know, like, even when you're on an aeroplane, to suck on a hard-boiled sweet, because it helps with...
Oh, with the pressure.
Exactly, with the pressure and stuff like that.
Ah, do you know what? You learn something new every day.
Didn't help me, though, because I was on the aeroplane. I just went to Athens and came back. On the landing there, my ears were gone for about a good 3 hours.
I used to get that a lot as a kid. I don't get it so much anymore. I don't know. I really enjoy flying now. I never used to. It was always just an excuse to sit and eat sweets, to be honest, because I'd always have the travel sweets.
Forgot to mute.
It's all right.
Fucking hell.
It's all right. This is going to be a nightmare to edit, this one.
I thought I kicked it, but my fucking laptop...
It's right. They're going to love it.
Oh, God.
This is episode 2. We've got one good one out of the way. It's fine.
The thing is, my laptop, when I press the touchpad, sometimes it doesn't, like, register. Oh, dear Lord.
Do you know the worst thing as well is that because of so many stops, I'd have no idea how long we've actually got content-wise of what we've been recording, but hey-ho. We'll move on, eh? So, I think the best place to go is going to be if I spit a few facts out there that I have on sweets and things like that, tell me what you think of them, because there's a few of these are very interesting, to be honest. Some of these are, most of them are US based, because the English stats are just not there. So the chocolate industry is worth approximately $110 billion per year.
I thought it'd be more.
Yeah, I was just about to say that's a low baller for me. I'm not sure when these websites were created, but I'd say that's a low number. Imagine just how much chocolate.
Oh wait, is that just okay? I guess it's
that's chocolate. Yeah, that's just chocolate.
The chocolate industry is that's globally, right?
Yeah.
110 billion. Yeah, I did think it'd be more globally. I thought it'd be more.
Well, maybe that is just the US. To be fair, they eat so much chocolate, but can you call it chocolate?
All those Hershey's.
Yeah. Apparently, chocolate milk is just as an effective post-workout recovery drink as any other.
Yeah, I've heard about that one. I mean, realistically, it's probably complete waffle. I mean, it's just sugar, isn't it? You're better off actually having like a protein shake or something of the sort.
There's protein in there, isn't there? Surely there's a lot of protein in milk, no?
I mean, it's still chocolate milk, right? It's still literally just sugar. You're better off just having...
Yeah, it depends what you're defining protein as chocolate milk, isn't it? Is it like Yazoo, which is definitely exactly not milk nor chocolate, or is it, do you know what I mean?
A chocolate protein, like, thingy, yeah.
If I was to ask you, who do you think what country do you think is the biggest, has the biggest retailer of chocolate, like sells the most amount of chocolate from one retailer, one single store, actually?
So this is cheating if I read the notes beforehand.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, I forgot I sent that over. So,
but it surprised me, though. I wasn't expecting it.
Brussels
it really
Airport,
threw me
I know
off.
They've got obviously Belgian chocolate and stuff. Mm. So I can understand that. But I would argue that Swiss. In these last few years, I would argue that people of the newer generation wouldn't know so much that Belgium is a place to go for chocolate. They're more likely to go, oh, let's go to Hershey's in America than they are to go, oh, let's
nah,
go.
Nah, Belgian chocolate is... I mean, to be fair, Swiss chocolate, I thought it would be more prominent than Belgian
Swiss
chocolate.
Swiss chocolate's lovely. Have you had it?
I mean, I've had Lindt.
Go home,
that is Swiss.
You're supposed to be a connoisseur. This whole episode... No,
not chocolate, though.
No. All right, not chocolate. All right, I'll move off my chocolate facts. I've got some stats about candy consumption. Again, in the US, that's why I called it candy. I don't get this. What's consumption per capita? Because it's in weight, but the weight doesn't seem that much.
Consumption per capita? Isn't that like per person?
Okay, so in the US, but it doesn't say per... Right, we'll skip that one. About 26% of Americans over the age of 2 consume candy on any given day.
Wait, say that one again?
At least 25% of the whole population of America over the age of 2 eats candy at least once a day.
25%? I mean, it could be worse.
Mate, that's a quarter of their whole population eating sweets every day. I can't say I eat chocolate every single day or sweets every single day.
Neither.
And they say we got bad teeth.
No, well, America's got the worst obesity problem in the world, so there you go.
We're dropping some straight facts, mate. Jesus. The average candy portion size was about 40 grams and has about 176 calories. That is quite a lot.
I take
of calories.
40 grams for 176 calories.
Huh?
I take 40 grams for 176 calories. Yeah, doesn't sound
depends,
like a bad deal.
Depends what you're trying to do. I just think the amount of sugar. Do you know what? It's not even what's in it or how much sugar or what. It's how a sweet makes me feel. Like if I eat a whole packet of Maltesers or like I don't know Jelly Tots or whatever sweet, I just feel like A, I feel like my teeth are gonna fall out. And B, I just don't feel great. I don't feel that energy that you should
Can't
feel
relate.
When you take on glucose like that. I don't
Can't
know.
Relate. I've hard conditioned my
you're
mouth
like,
to be able to
core.
Sustain. With my three dental fillings, I've hard conditioned my mouth to stay. Mate, I remember when I used to work at Sainsbury's and I'm a big snacker. So what I'd do is on my lunch break, I'd buy like those £2 like bags of like Minstrels or whatever. Minstrels like probably like my favorite chocolate.
Oh, the big one. You're talking about the
yeah,
big
yeah.
bag.
Yeah,
the share like
the
bag.
Size, but the share bag, I wasn't sharing them. It was in my pocket. I was just going to get me through the freaking 8 hours.
Were you a chubby little kid?
Nah, never have been.
No.
I've had like a couple of periods where I've been... I've had a couple of periods of time where I've been like, oh crap, I'm overweight, and I'm probably getting there right now as well, but no, I've never been like naturally chubby.
Oh, you're enjoying your life, there's nothing wrong with that, mate.
Facts.
Nothing wrong with that. So I know you didn't choose chocolate in particular, but I find it much easier to do this sort of history and the timeline thing based on chocolate because it's a bit of a clearer path.
Oh, 100%.
So I've gone, just for the listeners, I've done a little bit of a timeline of chocolate, how it came about and when it was created. So I'm going to cast your mind back to 2000 BC, so 2000 years before Christ. Cocoa, from which chocolate is created, is said to have originated in the Amazon at least 4,000 years ago. I just can't even fathom that. I can't get my head around that at all.
I was thinking of that before I came here. And so, yeah, like I said, I recently went to Athens a couple of weeks ago, in sort of mid-June, and obviously they've got so much history and, you know, all their temples and blah, 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 etc., the Parthenon, they're all like 2,000 years old, 1,000 to 3,000 years old for the most part. And like, you're just surrounded by all this history and you go through a museum and it's like, oh, this piece of bronze spearhead is 5,000 years old. And this, you're like, you're just sitting there scratching your head like, this is crazy. And, you know, gold pieces and all of that. So then when I start to think about like, I mean, honey is a given. Like when you look at hunter-gatherer tribes in Africa, for example, or anywhere around the world, like one thing that they treasure most is honey. So they treasure their meat, head to toe of the animal, and then they treasure honey. Because those two things, alongside obviously water, is the staple of any hunter-gatherer. And those hunter-gatherers are living the way we would have lived, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So honey is nature's candy.
Is that because of the sweetness, or is that just because it's found its way into sort of a sacred place? Like they find it like amazing because of what it was, I guess. Honey was, but before you could create sugar and things like that, honey was the sweetness. It was what our palate probably enjoyed getting that back in the day.
100%. Like honey is like, you have things like bananas, you have like which are sweet, which are fruits, etc. But in terms of just like pure like sugar, I guess, right, honey is probably one of the only if not the only sort of natural thing you can get. But no, it's just, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's probably a shock to the palate, probably number one. And number two, it gives you energy, and honey has so many health benefits for you. It's actually ridiculous, and it never goes off.
Yeah, I've heard this. I've heard that honey's so amazing for like basically the aloe vera of, like, it's amazing, doesn't it? It can do everything.
Yeah. Honey helps you in so many ways. I don't even know if that's probably a whole episode in and of itself.
Benefits
of honey. But no,
I think
really
in medicine now it's used quite a lot, isn't it?
If you have a cut, for example, like I remember I got injured a couple of years back and I had my whole forearm, just until the skin came off, and the gauze that the nurse put on it was like medicinal honey, is to stop the infection. And because it's like everything is so sugar and it just contains everything, and it's she'd put the honey gauze over it, medicinal, and then she wraps it around or whatever.
Crazy smart creatures, those bees, eh? So we'll jump forward to 600 AD now, so that's the next next input I've got. Chocolate derived from the seed of the cocoa tree was used by the Mayan culture as early as the 6th century. Maya called the cocoa tree, here we go, Cacahuacuatl, or tree. And the word chocolate comes from the Maya word chocotl. Chocotl? Sounds like chocolate. It looks X-O-C-O-A-T-L. Chocoatl, which does sound a bit like chocolate, which means bitter water. So I think this is them referring to. I heard that up until only the last few hundred years, chocolate was only ever used in a drink or as a drink.
Makes sense, right? I guess because the cocoa beans, they probably just grind them down.
Cheeky hot chocolate. That's it.
Literally, exactly. Hot chocolate. If they figured out how to use fire back then, yeah.
Imagine that, cooking a little hot chocolate around fire.
I found one fact, though, in terms of, like, candy stuff, which was that it was actually originated in Scotland in the 1820s, hard-boiled candy.
I definitely saw something about that. Go on, yeah. Can you elaborate at all?
Like a substitute for candied fruit. To be honest, it's quite simple. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but it's pretty cool. Like, I don't know if it's Vice or it's like, you know, there's Vice-esque documentaries where sort of go behind the scenes, really high-definition cameras, and they do, like, documentaries and stuff. I was watching one at candy. It's like one of those traditional father and son sort of candy stores where they make them from scratch. And I was watching it, this was probably a couple months ago or whatever. It's literally just boiled sugar water, and then you just add the flavoring in, and then it solidifies. Yeah. Okay, so essentially the process for it was you get the hard-boiled like sugar water, you add some stuff to it, and then it becomes sort of like a kind of like a dough. Like a sticky dough, and they just sort of keep like threading it and keep right rolling.
Oh yeah, yeah, because you're adding air into it, aren't you?
Exactly, exactly. And then they sort of flavor it, and then they have this like this top, this sort of stainless steel top, which is like cooled, but it's like hot enough that it stays sort of gelatinous, that like, it stays sort of in that state between liquid and solid.
Yeah.
And they sort of slap it onto that, and then they shape it the way they want, and then it just like immediately cools. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's cool, and it's very therapeutic to watch. I've seen some of those videos online with the stretches, and you almost think that machine's gonna hit itself, and it doesn't. You're watching it, and it's just stretching it, and stretching it. I love watching those. So then again, another jump. So we go from 600 AD all the way to 1492 is the next input I've got on here. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, I believe of France, but I might be wrong, were presented with many strange and wonderful things. The few dark beans that looked like almonds didn't get a lot of attention. So okay, back in 1492, they didn't know what it was. They weren't best pleased just receiving a bean in their in their gift box. But little did they know, eh? So then we jump forwards another 8 years. It says it's not completely certain who is responsible for bringing chocolate back to the Americas, but we do know that it was introduced to Spain first. Both Christopher Columbus and Hernan Cortez have both been credited for bringing the cacao bean back from their journeys and exploring the Americas in the 1500s. So they don't know when it was taken to America, but they know it was brought from America to Spain in the 1500s at some point.
That makes sense.
So it seems like it went everywhere before it came to the UK.
Yeah, it probably came to the UK when we probably colonised everyone and we took it.
That's the thing. This is the thing, man. Like, the tastes and flavours for the UK are all, if you go back far enough, based on us conquering or attacking some people.
But I don't even know what British staple foods are. Is it bread?
Roast dinner, mate. None of your shit can beat our roast dinners. Don't even.
Roast dinner's probably taken from somewhere else as well.
No. Meat and veg. It's, you know, to be fair, when I lived in Spain, I realised that idea of a roast, it does just come from meat and two veg and all Spanish food. The Mediterranean diet is delicious, and it is just so basic. It's all very basic fish or meat and a sort of tomato-y based sauce and
when
some
I went
potatoes.
To Athens, it was literally just like fish. Fish and I had the most amazing potato with like garlic and butter. So
did
nice.
You? What sort of stuff did you eat there? Did you eat a lot of traditional stuff there?
I mean, they have like souvlaki and stuff, which is literally just a doner wrap with chips, to give it a fancy name. And then a lot of fish and veg and stuff like that. They have a lot of, they didn't have, one of my friends I went with is veg, so they didn't have a lot of veg options, but
they're all quite traditional though, aren't they?
Had a lot of like just standard pizza, pasta as well, so
yeah.
Bit of everything.
I think we're from that. We're currently going through that sort of vegan vegetarian revolution, aren't we? And we're already so climatized to walk into the shop and being able to see all the vegan options and all the vegetarian options. And yeah. I think when you go to other countries, you realise that they are not quite as caught up, but neither were we 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's yeah, the vegetarian options abroad and stuff like that is it's not great. But give it another 10 years, I think everyone, all the major countries will be on board.
Yeah, and then you've got those moving in the other directions, but we shan't. So 1657, even London succumbs. London's first chocolate shop is opened by a Frenchman. London chocolate houses became the trendy meeting place where the elite London society savoured their new luxury. The first chocolate house opened in London, advertising this excellent West India drink. So it was still a liquid. It was still liquid chocolate. But you can see that the London socialites are very happy now to introduce it into their society, and they're sort of making a thing of it being a luxury now. So once it came to England, once it came to London, it very much found its way up the rankings quite quickly as a luxury.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially because it was all imported and stuff like that. You know, import costs still existed back then, so I'm sure it was a expensive thing.
Exactly.
To have.
I mean, 1657, so we're talking, what, middle of the sort of Stuart Georgian period.
You can actually go see it in London. I just Googled it now. It's near Bishopsgate in City. What London, is? So, the first chocolate house.
No way.
I don't know if it's still intact.
What's it called? Give him a shout out.
But honestly, I don't even know. It doesn't even say.
No, there's no name on there or address. Roughly, where is it?
No, it's in Bishopsgate. Near okay. Queen's Head Alley.
There we go. So go out and do your research if anybody on earth is listening to this podcast.
To be fair, I've done so much in London. I'm just, the only things I've got left are the odd bits. So I think last time I went, I saw, Pudding Lane.
Okay.
I've never been there before. But that's all I've got left, like little things like this, because I've done it.
I've got to do the Abbey Road Studio. I mean, it's a bit off topic, but I've got to do the Abbey Road Studios. I went to the London, I love history, so I went to the London Mithraeum the other day. The Roman ruins that are right under the city of London. There's like a Roman wall and
there is a
like
wall,
that.
Yep.
Right around the corner from Birchin Lane. And then there's, what else? I went to the Museum of London Docklands.
Oh yeah.
I literally went there yesterday. That was fun. I love going out and I love taking myself to a museum and stuff. That's one of my favourite things to do. I'd love there to be a foodie museum in London. I'd go around. The markets are like my food museums, mate. Mm. I walk around and just eat so much of the stuff
Camden's
there.
Camden's dope.
Camden's good, but, mate, go to Borough Market, go to Spitalfields. Okay. Borough Market's really good. So we had, I raved about this on last week's podcast as well, but we had a chorizo ciabatta with, like, proper Spanish olive oil and like, oh mate, it was so good. It was honestly, and the donut, like everything's just above and beyond there. You are paying, but it's above and beyond.
Noted.
And then we fast forward to 1828. So cacao spreads rapidly across Europe, but it remained exclusively a beverage for over 3,000 years until 1828. A Dutch gentleman named, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Conrad van Outen, more than 100 years after cacao was introduced to Europe, had created the first cocoa press. More than 100 years after cacao was introduced to Europe, he had created the cocoa press. The cocoa press provided a method of separating out the cocoa butter, leaving what is called cocoa cake, which could be pulverized into a substance we now know as cocoa powder. So that was the first
Damn,
sort of sightings
Dutch.
Of cocoa powder.
Well, to be fair, back in the 1700s, 1800s, the Dutch were big. They had a lot of their trading companies and shipping companies and stuff like that. So it makes sense. It makes sense that they probably brought it back there first when it comes to Europe. And
yeah.
Then I guess they had the ingenuity to make it happen. That's pretty cool though.
Have you got anything, if you've got anything in between what I'm saying, feel free to jump in, by the way. I've got very loose and few and far between sort of dates and things like that, so this is an open discussion. I've now got 1876, so it wasn't until 1876, I've got here, that the first chocolate bar was invented. Henri Nestlé, yes, that Nestlé, came up with the idea to process and incorporate milk, and voila, milk chocolate was brought to the mass market.
I
Those
no
were not
idea
my words.
He was the one who did it.
Yeah, mad that Nestle was the first one, wouldn't you? because dairy milk's so much better.
I can't even think of any Nestle chocolates anymore.
Oh, George, you know what? I can't. Milky Way, is that a Nestle?
To be honest, they probably all got bought out.
Yeah, no, Mars, Milky Way, Kit Kat, they're all Nestle.
Well, you mentioned Mars. So when Mars first came from the US to the UK, he actually set up the Mars family set up the first sort of factory in Slough.
In Slough?
So the Mars chocolate factory ends, is bro. In Slough. Why ends, mate?
All right, I'll give you that.
So, yeah, if you go through, like, the trading estate, you can smell the chocolate when you go through it.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I actually went on a school trip there when I was younger, probably maybe, like, year four or something like that. And so we went there, we went throughout the chocolate. And that's when Revels came out. Shout out to Revels. I think I'm a bit underrated, actually.
Are they still going? I have not seen a packet of Revels. No still way.
I think we got them when they first came out. They also gave it like a chocolate teddy bear, which honestly, I think till this day still smells of chocolate.
What?
Funny story.
Oh, what, was it a scented teddy bear?
Yeah, it was a scented teddy bear.
That's mental.
It was a pretty cool factory. And it's funny because when I went there, you won't believe who I met in a chocolate factory.
Was it Willy Wonka?
No. Definitely, it was the complete opposite of Willy Wonka.
Oh, no. Boris Johnson.
Unless Willy Wonka was a file, it was Prince Andrew.
Oh, my God.
And you shook my hand as well, and you probably got off on it as well.
I'm gonna beep out the word but I'm going to keep his name
beep
in
out?
There.
Okay.
I'm only going to beep out the word because I don't want to get in trouble, but he is a fucking... I'm gonna have so much editing to do, but
I wasn't sure if you wanted the word penis.
Oh, bro, he's a bad man, and the world should know it.
Yeah, Prince Andrew shook my hand. You probably enjoyed it.
Burn it off.
So literally, I didn't realize that until genuinely, probably about 6 months ago.
Obviously, bro, how were you meant to realize that? Come on.
Literally.
Oh, you didn't realize you'd met him until 6 months ago.
Well, I just completely forgot about it, and then I remembered like 6 months ago.
How
like,
old were you?
Wait a second. Well, I was in like year four or something.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. So it's not something you'd have just at the top of your memory.
Yeah, I don't know. The memory of Mars actually came back, and I sort of relived the day. And
that's
realized,
mental.
Wait a second.
Back then, all the princes merge into one, though, don't they? They're just the royal family, whereas now we sort of actually know who they are and how dirty they are.
But yeah, there's a story.
On to the last entry I've got is 1938. So the US government recognised chocolate's role in the Allied forces. Go on. It's allocated valuable shipping space for the importation of cocoa beans, which would give many weary soldiers the strength to carry or to carry on. Today, the US Army D-rations include 3 4-ounce chocolate bars. Chocolate has even been taken into space as part of the diet of the US astronauts.
Yeah, chocolate is elite in that sense.
Chocolate's sick, man. I love chocolate.
Right? Especially if it's like dark chocolate, because then it's actually like, it's, okay. Well,
oh, tell me
healthy.
You don't like dark chocolate.
I do. I actually like it. Not super dark, though. Not super dark. Like, not like those 95% ones.
To be fair, I've got a palate for dark chocolate. It's just got to be, I like salted dark chocolate, I think.
No, I don't like the salted stuff.
Oh, of course not. You bet you don't like salted caramel either. You're so hipster.
You probably like salted popcorn.
I much prefer... No, I don't, actually. I much prefer toffee popcorn than or salted.
Because I was about to leave the corn.
Although, what about sweet and salted popcorn?
No.
Not even the mixed one?
No.
Oh, you need to grow your palate, Hamza.
You're treading on dangerous water.
You need to grow up, boy. So, I've got some quick-fire questions now, which I think we should probably move on to, because we're... definitely a bit over time, but I can edit. So I'm going to change these slightly because confectionery is a bit of a weird one. It's not really doesn't fit in quite as well. But what's your, if you were to go into one of those corner shops, one of the boss man shops when you were a kid, what would your number one be like? Would you have a regular? Did you know I'd always get this? You're a snotty boy today, don't you worry. We've got to get that record.
Oh, God, it's the morning. This is terrible, man.
Every sniff is making this harder and harder for me, you know that.
Oh, I hate myself. Honestly, I keep... In my laptop, I don't know why it's been such a problem. I'm trying to mute and unmute.
Right, quick fire, Hamza. If we go to a boss fan shop, terrible. What's your go-to? What are you ordering? What
I
you getting?
Our podcast isn't so sniffly.
Yeah, yours is fine. Go to yours. Go to your podcast. That was brilliant. Great thing to say there.
I'm never getting invited back. All right. What do I? If I like the, you know that, you know, like the £5 munch stuff. So if I was
Let's go £5 munch. You got £1. You're 5 years old, and you've just walked in the boss man shop. What are you getting?
Toxic waste is just number one.
Elite sour candy's good.
Every time, toxic waste. When I was younger, I used to get Twangers a lot as well, which was like 25p for the 3 sticks.
Okay.
Elite, can't go wrong.
Just quickly, do you know why I like toxic waste? Is because it's reliable. You go for sour sweets, and half the time they are not sour whatsoever. At least with toxic waste, you know your tongue's gonna hurt by the end of it.
Oh, 100%, mate. Anyway, you carry on. Like 4 in the math sometimes. Well, they used to have like the sherbet sticks as well, which were like, again, these are all like 15p and stuff.
Not the licorice
toxic
ones.
Waste was like, no, like the sherbet powder, the sticks.
Yeah.
They used to have, yeah.
Yeah, I feel you.
And then the classic one, if you're really struggling and you had no money, you had pennies in the bottom of your wallet, you'd go for Freddo's.
Yeah,
which,
boy.
Freddo's, if you don't know it, are these, like, the measuring stick, the yardstick for inflation.
Thank you very much.
Right? It's the yardstick for inflation.
What's the lowest you remember them?
5 or 10p.
Really? Mine was 17p, so I reckon... Are you a bit older than me?
I'm 24, yeah.
Oh, I'm 24. I remember 17p. I just didn't pay attention to anything.
No, 5 or 10p, mate. I've been in this game for a while.
Wow.
I've been in this game for a while. Yeah,
so
5,
you look like 40, I couldn't guess.
Majority of the time, I remember them around 15, but I think they're like 25 now.
Yeah. 25, bro, they're like 40. Like, they're like 37p.
No.
Bro, I'm telling you, they're not that cheap anymore.
It's been a while since I've had a Freddo.
Exactly. But when was the last time you actually went and looked? Right.
It's been a while.
What's the best brand of chocolate bar, Hamza?
Oh, chocolate bar.
Because I know this is a controversial one.
It's funny because I think in one of our first episodes in Atypical, we actually did a chocolate bracket.
Did you?
And the answer was horrendous, which none of us liked.
Oh,
the answer we got was Toblerone, which doesn't make it... we like it, but it was not our favourite.
No.
But
I'm
just
not,
the way the bracket
I'm
went.
Not asking for your favourite chocolate bar. What is the best brand? You've got your Galaxies, you've got your Dairy Milk.
Oh, okay,
you know they come with like Mars has a certain taste to it. You know that
Kinnitin,
I think it's called Kinnitin chocolate, the one you get from like an advent calendar at Christmas. That cheapy chocolate. You always know the flavours. I'd always go Dairy Milk.
For me, I'd probably say Aero.
Oh, I like that.
I really like Aero. I like that. Like, it's like you just always want more. Because of all the air, you're probably getting half a chocolate bar.
Is Aero Nestle? I have a feeling Aero's Nestle, or are they their own?
Oh, I haven't got a clue at this point.
All right, I'll take that. So, what's your average? You go into the shop to buy munchies. How much are you spending? If you're on an evening, you're hungry, you pop down the shop, how much are you spending on your munchies?
Probably about a fiver.
Really? That's cheap. That is a cheap shop for a munchies. I'd go at least a tenner.
Nah, probably like five, six. If I'm getting like a whole bunch of candies and sweets and stuff, then probably about £7.
Do you realise how much things cost these days? That's like one packet of crisps.
Nah.
I'm talking sweet chili sensations. I'm talking a little dip. I'm talking a bit of chocolate. You got some sweets in there. Bro, it adds up. I'm telling you.
That's true.
Okay, and finally, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate candy and compared to other snacks? So just generally as a snack, how do you rate your sweets and your candy? Because you seem to love it, but is it above everything else?
I mean, the only other things you probably are to snack on are things like crisps and stuff like that. So yeah, if it comes to straight snacking, I'm going for like candies and chocolates number one. So it's gonna be a 10 for me.
All right, fair play. And just a little one I like to get in there. On a scale of 1 to 10, how was your experience on my lovely podcast, Food Glorious Food?
Food Glorious Food. I like the name. I like the name change.
Yeah.
No, it's been fun. I mean, again, like, it's been the first time I've been invited onto another podcast. So it's... I like it. I like the format. I like the shorter style. I'm taking a lot of inspiration from it myself, to be completely
it's
honest.
Much, I find that as well. It's nice to sit and actually... get a bit of experience from other people. I listen to podcasts so much to get a bit of feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've enjoyed it. I've probably been a terrible guest.
No, you haven't.
When it comes to sound editing.
Not at all. I'm going to have fun editing. It gives me something to do, eh? Not that I've got a week of work to get on with, but hey ho. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Hamza. And we will catch up soon. We'll do this again.
Yeah, legend. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate
Cheers,
it.
Man.
Cheers.
Right. Bye-bye. Thank you.